Hello and welcome to the Context Machine. This is episode 584. I'm Brian Chaffin. That's it. Just Brian.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. I've been a cop, a printer, graphic designer, and editor of Potato Farmer Spell Checker, and for one brief shining moment, a Broadway starlet. And that's this week's show. Thanks for joining us. All right, and everyone, you can decide which things in that list that I did not see before reading it are actually true. Also, you can find us at contextmachine.io. Brian, you have way too much time on your hands.
I do, but you can use contextmachine.io to reach us, or you can reach out to us on Twitter at contextmachine.
And also, today's episode is sponsored by ZocDoc, and we'll talk about them more in just a little bit.
You took my line.
Oh, shoot, shoot. And I almost gave you an edit.
You did almost give me an edit, too. Boy, this,
Why did you say it? Well, pretend like I didn't.
I like this whole thing where I don't let you read the script before we go live.
Seriously, people, Brian asked me to not look at the script. And so the first time I saw it was quite literally when Brian finished his sentence and I was supposed to start talking.
Yep. Indeed. You have had a lot of jobs. Careers, actually. I would even say you've had a lot of careers.
I've been around.
You have been around. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. So in addition to ZocDoc sponsoring the show, we have some unfinished business from last week.
We do. Yeah. So, Brian, do you remember last week when I mentioned that we have one of our listeners came up with the most amazing name for all of our fans, is Contextuals?
That wasn't the unfinished business I was thinking of. But you raise a good point.
Too bad. This is the unfinished business right now.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so Contextuals, absolutely love it. And when I brought that up, I could not remember who it was that that had come up with that amazing name. And they were kind enough to reach out again and remind me who they were. And it was our Twitter follower at Lenny Falk. So, Brian, I need to give you a dramatic reading of her comment back, which I believe is completely appropriate. She says, "At Context Machine, I am glad it only took 48 days to remember it on the show." Winky face.
That's fair.
That's totally fair.
That's just fair. That is a fair and honest assessment of our shenanigans.
It is, and I believe our contextuals are totally appropriate in calling us out.
Yes, because I love our contextuals and I love that she came up with it. That's just great.
It's absolutely awesome. And maybe next time it will take less than 48 days for us to remember.
Yeah, it doesn't seem likely.
No, but we can think positive.
We can. I don't really know if that's... Okay, so our other unfinished business, though, is iPads and toaster fridges.
Oh, right. Yeah, unfinished business. You meant actual topics for the show because we didn't get through everything last week.
Right.
That's really clever, Brian.
Yeah, though I was actually doing show stuff there. So the thing is, last week Apple did its pre-recorded media event for WWDC.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing that I don't think we got to was iPads, and in particular, I feel like Apple is, I've got a lot of different feelings about this. I feel like Apple is getting not even closer, but Apple has really gotten close to making iPad. Once this version of iPadOS is released,
mm-hmm.
into a true and proper laptop replacement for a much larger segment. It was already a laptop replacement for a significant segment of the population, but now it's a broader segment of the computing using population.
Okay, I'll accept that. Yeah, and I think that there is a portion of the Apple community that really, really wants the iPad to be their complete laptop replacement.
Yeah, I'm not one of them, even though I spend a lot of time on my iPad. But mm-hmm. there are certainly people who do. And also, I am in this very privileged position where I can have, you know, a laptop and a desktop and two different iPads too. And that's completely ridiculous.
And yet here we are.
Right. So, I mean, I'm just,
but
most people cannot do that and don't want to do that, even if they could.
Right. And, but in your defense, Brian,
yeah,
I mean, this is the cross that you bear, and it's the cross that I had to bear for many years as well,
yeah,
because it was our job to have experience with and understand these devices. Therefore, you needed to have a couple different iPads and a laptop and different iPods back in the day and iPhones and Apple yes. watches and. Yeah,
which is still the case in part for the show, but there's definitely an aspect of it that I'm able to, and so I do. But that's not the point. The point is this. The point is that Apple is essentially making, especially once this new version is it what iPad is it 16, 15, 14?
iPad OS 16.
16. Thank you, iPad OS 16. I knew that.
You did. You were testing me, and I appreciate that you work to keep me on my toes
Listen, that's just how thoughtful I am. Once that ships, Apple is essentially doing a toaster fridge. Do you remember Tim Cook telling us how bad toaster fridges were?
I do remember the whole toaster fridge thing, and I appreciate your take on this. I don't completely agree with you.
Well, the thing is that I don't actually say that in a pejorative or negative fashion. So
go on.
Well, okay. First of all, I feel that I am contractually obligated to remind everybody that I'm the one who said that Apple would compete with netbooks with an iPod SuperTouch.
Oh my God, I forgot about iPod SuperTouch. Yeah.
Right. And sure enough,
yeah.
it wasn't just that I was predicting that Apple would release some what eventually became the iPad, or what was eventually revealed to be the iPad, is that I specifically said that Apple was going to compete with netbooks with this thing that eventually was revealed as the iPad. And I was right about it. And I love pointing that out because it sort of like might overshadow all the times I've been utterly and completely wrong. For instance, Apple won't be using USB-C on its mobile devices. For instance, I said that too.
Well, Brian, if it's any consolation, my big takeaway from that whole thing wasn't that you were right. It's that your ability to come up with marketable names isn't as good as Apple's.
I knew that it wouldn't be called the iPod SuperTouch. That was at that point we had the iPhone and we had the touchscreen iPod, and Apple was just making it very clear. Tim Cook in particular, Steve Jobs to a lesser extent, but Tim Cook in particular was making it very clear that Apple, like, because Apple kept being asked, like, how are you going to compete with netbooks? How are you going to compete with netbooks? There was one, and I cannot remember who it was. I always want to say it was Katie Huberty, but the thing is I don't actually, I'm not convinced, it might not have been her. So I shouldn't have even mentioned her name. But there was a Wall Street analyst who downgraded Apple because Apple had not articulated a strategy to compete with netbooks that would not also cannibalize its own MacBook sales.
Well, Brian, is there a particular analyst you're annoyed with right now? Because if so, let's pin it on that person.
Well, I don't want to be unfair. I mean, it was memory and time are weird things, right?
Especially around black holes. But yeah.
Yes. And we start conflating things. We start rewriting events in our head until we remember something that may not have happened at all. And so I really think, I look for it. There was a long time that I kept going back to look for this analyst who said that, and I could never freaking find it. So whoever it was, that was completely and ridiculously insane. And the real point is that Wall Street was obsessed with netbooks, and Apple kept telling us netbooks suck.
And they were right.
And they were right. And no one thinks about netbooks anymore. At that point, everyone thought that netbooks were like the end all be all. And Apple ended up releasing the iPad. Netbooks were gone within a year, right? I mean, 18 months at the most. But I mean, they stopped being the thing that anyone was talking about in 6 months.
Yeah. Now, I will counter that with there are people that will argue with you and say netbooks evolved into Chromebooks, and so they still exist. Nonetheless, what you're saying is spot on, because Apple got that netbook space was not the place to go, and they released something that was superior.
And they were competing with the market need that netbooks were trying to address. That's the thing. Is Apple denigrated netbooks without ever denigrating the use case that people were putting netbooks to. I think that's grammatically correct. By the way, I also have to argue with you on the Chromebook. Netbooks were cheap physically.
They were okay. Just, to be fair, most Chromebooks are too.
But the reason why Chromebooks are cheap is because you were the product. Netbooks were cheap as hardware makers were trying to make a profit on the hardware. Chromebooks are cheap because you were the product, and Google is making money off of selling you. So I wouldn't say that netbooks evolved into Chromebooks. I would say that Google is competing for the same need that netbooks were trying to address with another kind of solution. I think the quality of Chromebooks is higher than the quality of netbooks.
I accept your apology.
that was most definitely not an apology.
Tomato, tomato.
Okay, anyway, that aside, Apple was also hammered later, a few years later, as Microsoft was releasing its crappy Surface. Right? Wall Street was like, well, you know, when are you going to do something like the Surface? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? And Tim Cook said on numerous occasions that other products, essentially the Surface, were toaster fridges, and that no one wants a toaster fridge. Yeah, they're trying to be two things at once, and they are therefore good at neither. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now...
Yep, I remember that.
Here we are all these years later. It's been a long time since Tim Cook said these things.
Where Apple got it right was that they saw the different use cases for the different platforms, meaning a laptop or desktop computer versus a tablet device. And I think that still holds true. And with iPad OS 16, what I'm seeing Apple doing is taking the iPad and getting us a step closer to it being the device that for the right use case can be the only device. Whereas for years, it had to be a supplemental device. So in that sense, I'm very pleased with where Apple is headed with iPad OS and iPad OS 16.
And I would even say that Apple is doing the toaster fridge correctly. And that it's not a toaster fridge. That Apple has actually made a device that can straddle different uses without it being this you know, Frankenstein thing trying to be all things at once. I got something right on the edge of my mind or tip of my tongue.
Well, how about if I throw my thing out? Maybe it'll trigger your thing.
Sweet.
So, Apple, going back to my use case thing, and you mentioned it a little bit, Apple gets that there are different use cases for the different hardware platforms, and they embrace that. And while we're seeing some crossover of some features, they're still what they were designed to be. So in the case of a Mac, it's a computing device that relies on a keyboard and a pointing device, a mouse or trackpad. And you interact with everything through that, that type of interface. With an iPad, it is a touch interface first. And Apple gets that there are different use cases for working in a touch interface. And so they have crafted the operating system to address that first. Now, contrast that with Microsoft, where you have the desktop laptop platforms, and then you have the tablet platforms, and they have still, I don't think, embraced the idea that these are different platforms. To Microsoft, these are different pieces of hardware that run Windows. And so they've ended up with something that is a keyboard and mouse interface first with touch shoehorned in, and it's muddying the use cases for the devices. I mean, how do people know when the tablet is what they need versus a laptop, and then throw in a touch screen on a laptop and it blurs it even more? I think that's ultimately a problem for Microsoft, although they're not going to go broke making one operating system to rule them all.
The Surface has only improved over the years, too. The Surface of today is not the Surface that Steve Ballmer introduced.
Well, true. And that's Microsoft's modus operandi. They throw something out and iterate. And then over time, something that started off as basically a dumpster fire can become something that's much better, and in some cases can actually become a really good product. And I'm looking at you, OneNote. I mean, I would much rather use OneNote than Evernote.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, yeah, there you go. Excellent product, OneNote.
Why don't you tell us about ZocDoc?
Oh, actually, I would love to do that because ZocDoc addresses a problem that so many of us have, which is finding and getting an appointment with the right doctor. It's no secret that it's a frustrating process to find the doctor that is going to be a good fit for you. And then when you finally find them, being able to actually get an appointment, it's just ridiculous what we have to go through to get through that experience. Well, that's where ZocDoc comes in. What ZocDoc does is figure out what your needs are, so they actually understand what it is that you need from your doctor, and then it helps you find the right fit without having to deal with headaches and stress, and then helps you get that appointment set up, and in some cases that appointment can be like within 24 hours. So it's just a great way to be able to get the right doctor at the time you need them, without having to just beat your head against the wall to make it happen. So, you know, what happens is ZocDoc, well, it's a free app that shows you doctors who are patient reviewed, that take your insurance and are available when you need them. So here's what you can do. Go to ZocDoc.com/ACM and download the ZocDoc app for free. And then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. And many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/ACM. ZocDoc.com/ACM. And hey, thank you, ZocDoc, for being our sponsor.
Indeed, we very, very much appreciate it. Going back to the Surface, I very much had this attitude about toaster fridges. And the whole there's one point about toaster fridges that we almost said but didn't actually articulate, and that is how Apple said on more than one occasion, Tim Cook said on more than one occasion, that it's important to allow a device to be true to itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole point behind his toaster fridge denigration of competing products, is that they were trying to be two different things and weren't being true to themselves, and therefore they were not good at being either. And Apple allowed the iPad to be true to itself. And the iPad was great, I think, from the release of the very first one, and Apple allowed it to be just a tablet, quote unquote, just a tablet, and then slowly started adding some laptop like, you know, almost additions. So they weren't changing the iPad. They were simply adding additional tools to better address some additional use cases, as you were talking about.
All right. So I'm going to nitpick on what you said.
Okay.
Just please. A little bit.
I like this.
You said that Apple added like laptop-like features to the iPad.
Yeah, I did say that.
I think what they did was they took features we needed on the iPad that are also features that we are familiar with on laptops. Hmm. And the example I will give you is a file system where you can actually see the individual files. We didn't have that on the iPad initially, but when it became obvious that people needed to be able to have a way to see the individual files outside of an application, then we got the Files app. To me, that wasn't making the iPad more like a Mac. It was giving us a feature that we needed that we were already familiar with from the hardware we'd been using for years.
Do you think we would have gotten a file system if Steve hadn't died? Because actually, it may have also been Scott Forstall. I don't know for sure, but I do know for sure that Steve was very adamant that users not have to hassle with the file system on the iPhone and the iPad.
I think we would have eventually gotten to that point. And I will hold up the Steve Jobs example of having an app store as an example. He was adamant we did not need to have an app store until we needed to have an app store And then Steve Jobs said, hey, now we have an app store.
Yeah, I think same with video that, on the iPod. It's about the music stuff.
Yeah. Right. Yes. And I think at some point, as the iPad continued to evolve and was being used for more and more content creation, Steve would have seen the need for people to have some way to see and organize and group files that weren't all part of the same application. And that's what the Files app gives us.
Yeah. If he and Scott, if Steve Jobs hadn't passed away, Scott Forstall would not have been fired. I mean,
probably not.
I feel like the issue was between probably Scott not respecting Tim enough. That would be my guess. I don't know that for sure. I've never met either of them, and I don't think either of them have said anything to actually support this, but that's my gut feeling from the outside. And we all know who won that particular battle. But if Steve hadn't passed away, I think Scott would still be Steve's loyal lieutenant. That's my guess. And if they were both still around and in charge of things like what Apple makes, I imagine that the iPad would look different than it does today. May not be better. It probably would be better in some way that we can't imagine. And I don't know why I'm going down this particular rat hole.
I'm probably not going to dig you out very well because I've got a shovel. I think it's an easy thing for us to say the iPad would be a different thing if Steve Jobs were still alive, because it would have Steve's fingerprints all over it, as opposed to
different Tim's
or Craig's or whoever. Would it be a better device than we have today? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. It would be a different device. I think there's some things that would be better than what we have today, but I don't think everything would be better than what we have today.
Yeah. And I like what we have today. And, one of the things that Apple added, getting back to the laptop editions, was support for a keyboard, and then eventually support even for a pointing device. And now with iPad OS 16, we've got you know, stackable windows.
Yeah, and well, to be fair, when Steve Jobs introduced the very first iPad, one of the first accessories he showed off at the same event was a keyboard.
Was it really?
Yep.
Third party?
You remember? No, it was the Apple keyboard stand where it held the iPad in a portrait position.
No.
So...
Yes. That was not an original iPad accessory.
That was an original iPad accessory. It was a dock stand because the original iPad had that dock connector on it. And people were like, why can't I have this in the stand where it's in landscape mode and not just portrait mode? And Steve's reasoning for portrait only was because it's the size of an 8.5x11 sheet of paper.
I'm looking.
I know it for a lot of people, it was a rough memory. So I don't blame you for blocking it out. Hey, man, and I just brought it back up.
I'm the one who said, oh, look at that right there. Portrait mode. The little short keyboard. Keyboard. Yeah. The iPad keyboard dock 2010. There it is. Okay. First of all, it turns out that you're correct.
I accept your apology.
Yes, that was an apology. That first time, not an apology. That was very much an apology. You were correct. I was wrong. I had completely, I'm looking at these images and they're not even striking up in memory. Here, do you want a, link to that for the show notes? Oh,
sure. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
We'll pass.
I'll put it in the show notes as this is the iPad keyboard Brian couldn't remember.
Perfect. Perfect. I like that. This article, by the way, which is at towel.com, TOW.com. Never even, by Adam Tau. Okay, great. Is a an article of the many different, all, I guess going all the way up through 2020 for the Magic Keyboard, the first Magic Keyboard.
Awesome. Yeah, it's I find it fascinating that even seeing an image of the keyboard,
no recollection.
It's just like not triggering anything for you at all.
No, apparently I was triggered enough to like erase it from my mind.
Clearly. And it worked really well because even seeing an image, it didn't make those neurons link back up.
So in addition to resizing windows and being able to tile windows, what else was shown last week that was sort of laptop-y?
Stage manager.
That's the thing that I had forgotten. Along with apparently keyboard from 2010. So tell us about Stage Manager.
Okay, in your defense, Brian, I mean that the keyboard was a long time ago, and last week was a long time ago. Okay, so Stage Manager is Apple's new iteration of multitasking on the iPad, and quite frankly, anything Apple did as a new iteration of multitasking would be an improvement, because holy crap, it has been lacking. Mm-hmm. So Stage Manager lets you have like individual windows like you do on the Mac, but they're grouped together. So let's say you're working on a research project where you need to have Safari open, and you need to have your to-do app open, and then you need like OneNote or something for all the notes that you're taking. Okay, so that becomes a Stage Manager group, and then when you select that group, all the others zip off to the side of your screen and kind of get out of the way, and you can see a little bit of them. And then that group that you need, that's now what's in front of you. And there are individual windows, and so you can just tap on the one that you need to be active and work in it, and then tap on the next one and work in that.
And it's essentially the same across Mac OS and iPad OS.
Yes. So the feature comes to Mac OS Ventura. And Brian, my take on that is that Apple developed this for the iPad, but because Apple's tools allow them or developers to create an app that can work on both, it came to the Mac for free because they'd already developed it.
Yeah, that was the impression I had too.
Yeah. So that's definitely more of a laptop like thing, because the whole idea of having individual app windows, that's not something we've ever had on the iPad. It's always been one thing, full screen, except for the janky multitasking thing. But basically one app, one screen, one view. And now we get something that's markedly different from that. Adding to that, I found out a couple days ago on... I can't remember. It might have been Mac Voices with Chuck Joyner, where someone was saying that you can put menus in the windows now too.
Ooh.
So you can have menu bars in the windows. So like in a Mac app where you can have at the top of a toolbar. So you can have the buttons across the top of a window.
Yeah.
You'll be able to do that in iPad.
Who's you, OS the developer apps. Or the user?
The developer can add this feature to their app so that you, as the user, will have access to these features like directly in the window.
Right. Which makes sense. So the biggest takeaway here for me from all of this is Apple has taken this, like, Apple is okay. The market was saying that they want some part of the market. I'm going to keep rewriting myself until I get it right. The market was saying, we want a device that can be either a tablet or laptop according to what we need at that moment. And mm-hmm. Apple, again, never denigrated the market need, but did denigrate the products that were trying to meet that need. Although it has been many years since Tim Cook snarked anything about a toaster fridge. And mm-hmm. In the process of time marching on, Apple has allowed the iPad to develop in such a way to meet that need without compromising its existence. And that's something that Apple does better than everybody else.
I agree with you. I think this is Apple's longstanding process of giving us what we need as opposed to what we say we want. It takes a different form now than it did years ago when yeah. Apple's philosophy was just they're going to give us what we need, not what we're asking for. And I think Apple is more open, more receptive to people saying, you know, that's great, but we actually really do need this. No, seriously, we do. And Apple's like, okay, yeah, I guess we can see that. You know, here, have an SD card slot on your computer again. You know, so they're listening, but they're not just blindly giving users what they say they want. They're figuring out how to do it in a way that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I think that's the case, and I like it. I like it. I had my mind changed about toaster fridges two to three, four years ago.
The first time you had fridge toast, right?
No, not at all. Actually, it was the first time I talked to someone who was actively working with toaster fridges and then working with other people who were working with toaster fridges. This would have been in the education space. And it was their experiences that showed me that there was need for a good toaster fridge. I just didn't think that the Surface was necessarily the good toaster fridge. And I feel like Apple is giving us the good toaster fridge now.
I'm with you on that. And for me, it goes back to what I was saying earlier, where Apple sees the different use cases for the different types of platforms, you know, desktop, laptop versus tablet. And Microsoft sees the one operating system that you put on everything. And that doesn't lend itself well.
That was Steve Ballmer. Satya Nadella doesn't seem to suffer from that.
You're right. Still, Microsoft, I mean, that's a big ship to turn. And dealing with making the transition to accepting that there are different use cases for different hardware platforms, that takes a lot of time for a company to address. So Satya Nadella still has a long way to go. But yeah, you're right. He's not looking at this in the same way that Steve Ballmer did.
Yeah, do you remember shortly, like Steve Ballmer was like talking smack about, like, you know, because Satya Nadella immediately began undoing some of Steve Ballmer's initiatives and directions mm-hmm. and instructions. And Steve Ballmer talked crap about that at first. Doesn't seem Which to do that anymore.
Doesn't surprise me, but yeah, I forgot about that. But yeah, I remember now.
Doesn't seem to be talking all that smack about Microsoft?
Well, my guess is that Satya was sitting at the cafeteria tables one day, you know, with this little metal tray with a mushy peas and a little cardboard carton of milk. And he says, you know, it'd be really great. And all the lawyers sitting at the other table, they lean in and go, hold a hand up to their ear. And he says, if someone would explain to Steve that talking smack about this company just isn't going to fly. And then the attorneys went, and went back to their little lunches. And later that afternoon, Steve Ballmer got a call from Microsoft Legal saying, yeah, you got to knock this off right now, pal.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think that Steve was probably, I mean, he everyone's the hero of their own story, right? And he thought that he was doing things correctly. And then when someone changed those things, that he thought it was the wrong decision, and that basically time showed him that he was wrong. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
It's you give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to stick with this vision I created in my head that actually literally looks like a scene from a Broadway musical. I love the headcanon I just created, so I'm just going to own it and stick with it.
All right, you do that sort of thing well, but
thank you.
Yeah, you know, on that. By the way, on that note, I think we want to say that, and then I think that I want to let everybody know that is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachine.io. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. We appreciate that. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And ZocDoc, right? They sponsored this week's show, Jeff.
They did, which is awesome. So go to ZocDoc.com/ACM and download the ZocDoc app for free. And then start your search for top-rated doctors today. And many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/ACM. ZocDoc.com/ACM. It's a good thing I have good diction.
It is a very good thing you have good diction. Also, speaking of diction, I am at GeekTales on the Twitter.
I'm Jay Gamut.
Oh, I like it. I've left you speechless. All right, check it out. I'm going to get while the getting's good, Jeff.
I wanted to make a joke about your diction picks, but chose not to.